Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, we are now live on blogtalkradio.com. This is the Middleman Talk Show, and I'm your host, Alan.
And this is Kevin.
Kevin, how's it going today, man?
Man, you know what today is, right?
Right. I want to start off by sending a special Father's Day shout out to my boy, my Ace Boone Coon, also host of the Middleman Talk Show, mm-hmm. Kevin. KG Gordon.
Yes, and I do accept that. Hey. Give him a little trophy and stuff, Daddy of the Year. Nah, man, I'm working at it trying to be a better husband, a better father, a better man. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
I mean,
man.
Think about all the shows that we did before, man. We always trying to tell somebody else how to do something better. I'm trying to make sure I do it myself, man.
Right.
You know how
I
go, but, I mean, while you giving out your Father's Day shout-outs to me, I would like to send out a Father's Day shout-out to everybody out there in America, you know what I'm saying, that's holding it down, regardless if you're on child support or if you're just a baby dad. As long as you're holding it down for your kids and doing
right.
your responsible thing, shout out to
right. And even to those fathers who are taking care of other dudes' kids, you know, in their life, Father's Day to y'all too, man. You know, have a Father's Day to y'all too.
Oh,
y'all
yeah.
are fathers. Even though you didn't birth some kids, you are a father to them.
You know what? I got to say one other thing as far as with Father's Day. I want to send a shout out to all the godfathers out there today. You don't even have
yeah.
a Godfather's Day.
I don't know. That's a good question.
I mean, if
That's
they
a good
don't,
question.
Man, we going to celebrate that today for you fellas out there. So if you're a godfather, Al, I know you're a godfather, so...
Yeah, I'm a godfather.
Hey, man.
Yep.
Happy Godfather's Day to you.
Appreciate that. I'll accept that.
Yeah, we're going to have to probably make that one up. You know what I'm saying? Submit that one.
Yeah.
So, but if... I mean, if people don't want to celebrate it for Father's Day, you know what I'm saying? Hey, you're just an angry person.
Right.
That's normally what it is, but you're listening to the... Middleman Talk Show on Blog Talk Radio. We appreciate everybody just tuning in with us live. So we appreciate you guys out there today taking your time out of your day to get with us.
All right.
But, hold on. We got Jen, man. She's back there in the technical department. She want to say something. What's up, Jen? Jen.
Pick up, Jen.
Your mic on, baby.
Is it?
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Happy Father's Day. I'm
What's
trying
up?
To get the our technical thing going today, so I'm sorry.
Oh, okay, my bad. Okay. But well, we're going to let you go ahead and get yourself situated, and we'll get back with you in a few minutes, all right?
All righty.
All right.
Jen always come on extra excited and stuff on the show, like all the time, like he's never mad or something.
Hey, man,
always bubbly.
Isn't that the best way to be?
I guess,
you know, man. You wake up, you happy, you smiling, you feeling good about yourself. You ain't got to worry about, you know what I'm saying, waking up talking about wowsy, woo-woo.
Right.
Like a lot of people do. They wake up mad at the damn world. I don't understand that. But that ain't me. That ain't Jen. But, Al, what's been going on out there in the world, man? I mean, what are we talking
yeah.
about today, man? Let everybody know that's on the line today. Let them know what we got going down today, man.
Well, to all our listeners who are online and also on the web chat, we're talking about the villainization of the black man. You know, we're going to try to get a little bit in depth with this. We have, you know, some questions in which we're going to touch on, but we're probably going to bring up some more scenarios in which we can actually discuss this topic, which is very broad. And this is something that G and I have been wanting to discuss for a long time. We're just trying to build up on it and, you know, get what all we need. But today... we're going to be talking about why black men are continuously being villainized in America. And also we're going to discuss why are black men more targeted than other men of different races, why is it harder for a black man to become accepted in the workforce, and also why sometimes our black women do not stand up for their black men.
Yes, sir.
So if you're on the line, if you have any questions or comments, you know, please press 1 or send your comments to our chat board, and then we'll try to get you in there.
Yeah. I mean, man, hey, that last one, when you're talking about with the black women, if you're on the line, you got some black women that don't stand up for you, we want you to go ahead and press that number 1 and talk about it. If not, you know what I'm saying, you know somebody that ain't really hitting on nothing, you know what I'm saying, always talking negative and down towards a brother, hey, let's talk about it today. Because
right.
A lot of times, you know, we got good guys out here, and they still get crapped on.
And we sure do.
And I ain't
all
with that. Because I'm a good dude. Al a good dude. You know what I'm saying? Nick a good dude. Dub a good dude. We try to do right by us. So if all the people out there that you know that ain't doing right, man, go on here and bust them outside their head real quick.
Yeah, do that. That's all they need right now. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
A little Coke bottle inside the head. Ain't gonna hit no beer bottle, you know what I'm saying? But a little Coke bottle inside the head, you know.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's all they need.
Now, I just read something not too long ago, man, about a couple of days ago, man. We had another young man that was killed by some young Caucasian men. They basically drug him under the truck again, man. It's like, this is the fourth person I've seen or heard or read of that's in my lifetime to hear about people being drugged by a truck. It was up in the northeastern part of the states. It was a Latino brother, man. They drug him around and was hollering out racial epithet and just really, man, just getting down, man. I mean, what's going on in America right now?
That is a good question, man. I mean, I don't understand. I mean, I don't know, man. That is just a touchy subject, man. And I think we need to do a show on that. You know,
I mean,
we need to do a show on that.
I mean, basically, man, it's almost back to getting back on another racism show. Because I mean, we're possibly gonna have to do another racism show, man. Because at the moment, you know, it just seems like everything is getting bad from the time of Obama being nominated up to this point right now. I mean, even for him, it's gotten worse. You see, they keep talking about that man's wife. I'm wondering, when is he going to snap?
He probably already had, you know what I'm saying, behind the scenes, you know what I'm saying? But as far as publicized, I don't know. It's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming. It's coming because, you know, he got people that be watching the news and watching the internet and, you know, surfing and all that. So, you know, his ears are to the ground now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, me personally, man, if I was the individuals that were doing that, and as much as they hate the government, and you think about it, this guy is the ultimate figure in the government. He can make something happen to you without even making, you know, really putting himself in that predicament to get caught up.
Quick.
So it's like, bam, okay, you want to say something about my wife. All of a sudden, you look around, here we go again. How? Your taxes, you getting, you know what I'm saying, you getting everything, you getting audited. So, you know what I'm saying? It's about to go down.
Like
so,
how Will Smith on that Enemy of the State movie.
Oh, yeah. Wonder why your bank account is frozen up. But basically, if you're just joining us, you are listening to the Middleman Talk Show, and today we are talking about the villainization of the black man.
That's right.
We're going to go into our first song of the day, and this is the question. Are you black? Or is this to be black? Maybe. All these things that the artist that we're going to have today, everything that he talks about in the song, pay close attention to this song. It's by an artist by the name of Common. I know y'all know who this guy is. But the title of the song is Black Maybe. That is a question in itself. So you listen to the Middleman. Check it out.
Come around, they don't wanna bring you down. No one knows it wasn't that. world is a crack, baby. Hard for me to pay attention and I act crazy. Gotta get over from the tip, I rock the fat lady. Sing a song, or I'll be gorillas in warfare. And I'm the king, it's calm, they say we dreaming wrong. Them same strips that them older niggas lingered on. Now the Walgreens is gone, hope is killed, fiends are born. We leaning on the walls that ain't stable. It's hard to turn on the hood that made you. To leave, we afraid to. The same streets that raised you can age you. Without the black birds, it's K2. A rage up in Harlem and the South Side. Niggas are starving with their mouth wide open, floating across state. Got the workout plan so they can move weight. The fate of the black man, woman, and child. Maybe.
Your boy Common with Black Maybe. That's a powerful song right there, man. I like Common.
Yeah. Definitely there, man.
So, but today, people, we're about to get into the subject of the matter, which is the villainization of the black man. You know, I don't want to waste no time today. This is a touchy subject for me, myself. So we're just going to get into it. Do you have any concerns starting off before we get into it? I don't. It may get a little ugly.
We can let loose today. This ain't. I'm not worried about offending nobody because I'm black and I'm tired of being watched. So if you're on the line, you one of my Caucasian friends. Hey, you know me. That's all I'm gonna say. I don't hate nobody, but I'm gonna let you know the truth. You know what I mean?
Right.
But reiterate what we're talking about for all those that just joined in.
So today, people, we're talking about the villainization of the black man. We're going to be discussing why the black man continuously is being villainized in America. Why are black men more targeted than other races? And why is it harder for a black man to become accepted in the workforce? And why sometimes our black women do not stand up for their black men?
Mm-hmm.
So I think we need to start off probably with, of course, the generalized question of the day, which is why are black men continuously being villainized in America?
Well,
when you look at...
Go ahead.
Okay. I want to start off, well, when you look at it, of course, we were bought over here as slaves,
mm-hmm.
being, you know, we were minute to the elite race. So, of course, the elite race, which is the white race, put fear in
right.
us. But now, as time progressed, and then, you know, we had, you know, our black power movement, I think when that turned around a little bit, it was like we were viewed as the villains, and they are, you know, and the white race or the majority race are viewed as the hero, you know, as far as in their perception. And we're also looked at as, you know, the troublemaker. You know, we're the ones, like, you can, if somebody were to rob a store, the first mindset is a black guy. It has to be a black guy. No. It's that particular stigma that we still have on us. Even if we are successful, we're still, you know, we will still be looked at that way.
Well, I'm going to ask you something, Al. And you think about this, and I want everybody on the line to think about this. You got to comment off what I say. Press that number one. When you fear something, what do you normally do? That's my question.
Something?
When you fear something, what do you normally do?
It's either fight or flight, man. Really?
Fight or flight. You're going to either try to fight it or run away from it, right?
Right.
The thing about it is you made up a, you just brought up a good, interesting comment as far as us being slaves and how we were brought over here. The thing about it, Europeans knew of us in this world. I mean, through trade and everything else. They saw what it was. They saw what Genghis Khan did. They saw what all these other people did. But all of a sudden, we were just the one that were brought over here all of a sudden as slaves. All these other people were just, you know what I'm saying? If you think about it, man, when you fear something, man, and you have to face that, man, you're going to try to knock it down as best you can. You know what I'm saying? Because
That's
if you think about it, man, maybe I'm not expressing this right, but when a man, like, go out in the jungle and go hunt, he go kill the biggest, baddest thing out there, right? He going to go for what? The lion. He going for that lion.
Right.
He going for that rhino. But when they came to Africa, what they did? They went for the biggest, the baddest slaves that they can get.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about it, man, I think it's mostly that when you first deal with something that you're fearful of, that brings up the ignorance, that brings up the misconceptions, that brings up everything else, because throughout our history in this world, we were leaders, we were kings, we weren't always slaves, man. We did magnificent things, technological-wise, everything. We brought medicine, numbers, numerical, everything. But all of a sudden, they saw it and they feared that. I see we got a call on the line, man. You want to handle that?
All right. Caller 601, you're live from the Middleman Show.
Yes, it's, what's going on, you guys?
Hey, what's up,
what's going on, fella?
Hey, what's going on? Y'all know this is a topic that's near and dear to my heart because, you know, we as black men, we are often victimized in the media, we're often victimized by systems, everything. And I want to kind of give some kind of historical and psychological understanding to why this exists. I think one of the things that we have to understand about human nature in and of itself is that...
Hey, Charlie, speak up in your phone a little bit, man.
Can you hear me? Can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. What I'm saying is I think we all have to understand that the nature of humankind, of humanity, is to, in nature, do right. But when other outside forces like money and greed override our righteous nature, we have to justify our evil acts. Now, what am I saying by that? Meaning that if I decide that I need free labor, because understand this, slave labor built America.
Yes.
Okay? It built the wealth of Europe. Okay?
Yes, it
is. All right? Now, we must be clear about that. And if I'm going to treat another human being like cattle, I have to justify that in my mind and justify it to other people who may think righteously or may have an innate conscience that says, hey, that ain't right. So what I do is I strip the slave of his or her humanity.
Right.
In other words, they're not a man because they're not Christian.
Yeah.
Okay?
You're barbaric.
They're barbaric, and we're civilizing them. We're bringing morals to them, even though we're raping their women. That's not very Christianly. We're castrating their men because our women desire them. We're murdering them, hanging them, lynching them, and we're vilifying them who rebel. The rebellious Negro, the one that who's saying, I'm not going to deal with this, we're going to vilify them.
Right.
So over a period of time, this humanization along with the vilification becomes white racism.
Right.
Okay? Now notice I didn't say racism.
Right.
I'm talking about a specific type of racism. Because as an African-American, that's the type of racism that we are dealing with and suffering from, and it's impacting us, and that's what motivates the villainization of black
people. Now, Charlie.
Villainize that which you fear. But you also want to dehumanize that which you fear perpetually.
Now, Charlie, I was going to ask you a question. Hey, are you familiar with the Moors?
Oh, of course I am. The Moors. There's a book by Stanley Lane Poole called The Moors of Spain. I urge everyone to read it. The Moors come from the area that we now know as Morocco in northern Africa. The tip of Spain. In fact, you can go to the shores of Morocco and look and see Spain.
Right.
And the Moors were responsible for bringing the first public bath to Europe. They were responsible for establishing the first university, the University of Cordoba, the University of Madrid.
Right.
They brought algebra, in fact, to the Western world.
Oh, yes. Oh,
yeah. Okay, yes, so I'm very familiar with the Moors. Very, very, very familiar with them.
Now, the funny part about it, you know, Jen always sending us good information and stuff, and basically, I'm, you know, the whole Othello screenwriting play was written by Shakespeare. But
correct.
Othello was what? A Moor.
A Moor.
Black man.
Yeah. And if you read Shakespeare's work, the term Moor popped up throughout his work, and Moors always treated with respect by Shakespeare.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And one would ask oneself, why is that?
Yeah.
Well, Shakespeare, being a learned man, knew of the Moors and knew the contribution, the tremendous contribution that the Moors made to Europe.
Right.
How many of you all saw the movie Columbus, the movie about Columbus? I think it was 1492.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. I actually watched it.
Yeah. Remember at the beginning of the movie, what's the guy that used to play James Bond, the English actor?
I know who you're talking about. The first.
Remember, they had just conquered the Moors, and they were pulling down. There was a scene where they were pulling down
the Moorish flag.
The Moorish symbol, I believe it was the flag, or it was the crescent that stood over one of the domes. And he said, you know, it's a damn shame we're destroying this culture, because it is a wonderful culture, a great culture. We could learn a lot from them. Because I think it's no secret that when the Moors were defeated, Europe all of a sudden comes up with this great, all of these great inventions, these great inventions. They came up with a lot of science, and then shortly thereafter, they plunged into the Dark Age.
Whenever that you brought up the Moors, because, you know, it seems like now that what they went through, you know, is sort of like what we're going through now. You know, it's always something that is negatively connotated as far as with the black perspective or the black world in general. You know, as far as, I mean, the first thing they always bring up is our music now. Because it's, you know, it's starting to really take over a lot of our, you know, youth right now, as far as the perception of how we are presented, you know, in the world, you know, and it's always viewed as nasty or negative or, you know, sexual and all that or whatever, and which a lot of it is now. But when you think about who is actually the people who are putting their money behind it, and putting all these promotions and all this, you know, all these billboards and stuff to get it out there, you know, they're not looking at it as, you know, this is something helpful. This is something that they are making money off of us. You know, our ideas, our ideologies and stuff like that, and then it just, you know, they're just doing it to meet an end.
Well, I think here's the problem. Here's what you have to understand. We go back to the whole vilification of black men and black people in general, not just black men. Black women are being vilified. I mean, how many times do you see a movie and the black woman, when you see a black woman, a random black woman, she has to be a prostitute or a hooker or
crackhead.
Her mother, a crackhead. You know, a black man has to be a thief. I remember seeing this movie where they, I think Dustin Hoffman played a woman, and in the opening scene, saw a black man. No black people except his one brother who snatched a purse and was running down the street. Random. Had absolutely nothing to do with the movie. But the image stuck in my mind. Why the brother got to be a purse man?
Exactly.
Why does he have some brothers and whatnot? But, again, all of this goes back to the vilification of us. And when you talk about the music, it's interesting that when you look at groups like Dead Prez, you look at groups like, I'm trying to think of some more positive groups that are out there.
Black Star,
Immortal Technique. Yeah, Immortal Technique. Yeah. The Coup. I love The Coup. But their music doesn't get pushed.
Oh, no.
Like,
oh, no.
Young Jesus.
Nah.
Okay, and nah. I don't get me started talking about Young Jesus. I see you don't.
No, we may need to talk about Young Jesus. We need to talk about Jesus.
I mean, it probably goes back to a conversation you said something along on one of our other previous shows when you went to Utah, if I believe, and they was looking at you kind of funny. The thing about it,
Montana. You talking about
Montana? I mean Montana.
Missoula, Montana.
Right. The thing about it, man,
people have never seen black folks in Missoula. Now, lived there all their lives and never seen a black person in person,
right,
other than what they've seen on television.
And Charlie,
this isn't just America. This is international, brother.
Right. Believe me, I understand that. I'm just saying, the thing about it, though, Charlie, even with our music, man, I think our music plays a big part of us being villainized, you know, because you have corporate America, your Jewish brothers, your German brothers, all the people that's running the music industry, the only thing that they want to do is make money. In the same sense, if you got scared white people sitting out in the suburbs and their kids listening to rap, and that's the only thing they hear, especially, man, could you imagine a suburban white parent listening to N.W.A. back in the day? Or hearing the kids listening to N.W.A.? I mean, that had to be the most...
And watching their local news if they live in a major urban center.
Right.
Okay, because let's look at it. Statistically, for white people, statistically, a white person has a better chance of being robbed by another white person than they do by a black person.
Very true.
Yep.
The thing about it, Charlie, we make up, 13.8% of this population in America.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And we commit 90% of the crimes in America. Does that even make sense?
So they say. I mean, but you have to look at it. A lot of these crime statistics are based on convictions. I remember a brother who was a criminologist, and I can't think of his name, but he was at the University of Southern Mississippi. He did a study and found out that most of the times when you look at your drug cases, the majority of your arrests in sheer numbers were overwhelmingly white, but the majority of your convictions in sheer numbers were overwhelmingly black.
Right. That's right. That's right.
So
that's
if you're taking the crime statistics from the quote-unquote conviction rate, then quite naturally, it looks like the black people.
Now, we're losing Charlie there.
Yeah, Charlie, make sure your phone is in a good location. We're losing you again.
Can you hear me? You hear me? All right, you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. No, what I was saying is if the conviction rate is what they do to give you the crime statistics, and black people are being overwhelmingly convicted just opposed to the larger number of whites who are arrested over black.
Right.
Quite naturally, it looks like the black people statistically are committing more crimes, when in reality, numerically, it may not be the case.
That is perfectly true, and true, because I did, back when I was in college, I had to do a research paper, and it was on something similar to that. And, you know, of course, all the data in which, you know, I did all my research on, the majority of the results, the convictions, the racial profiling, the murder cases and convictions off murder cases, and also, like, the most racists who've been put on death row mm-hmm. or been lethal injected or whatever, the majority of them is, all the way down the list, black.
Well,
black males in particular.
I want to ask this question, and I want to ask this question to anyone online. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Blog Talk Radio, The Middleman Show. Today we are discussing the villainization of black men, and the questions that we're asking in this first segment is basically, why are black men continuously being villainized in America? And why are black men more targeted than any other men in different races in America? And why is it harder for a black man to become accepted in the workplace? So these are some of the things we're asking today. If you would like to have a comment or have a comment, you can go ahead and press that number 1, and we would love to hear a comment from you today. Now, as far as in the first segment of what we were asking, Charlie, we was asking about the villainization of a black man in America. Now, if you think about this, Charlie, it's more of a monetary thing why we're being villainized, because we basically make up the prison population.
Exactly.
And you think about it, from a monetary standpoint, if you're constantly shuttling men and young black men into the jails, you're always going to have money coming in. I see that we have a caller.
That's
and, you want to go ahead and take that next caller?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll go ahead and take that caller. But, you know, that question that you just said, you know, that's where a lot of cities make their money off of anyway, is by building jails.
Right.
So, take this caller. Area code 214, you're on the Middleman Show.
Yeah, what's up, G? What's up, man?
Hey, what's up, Daddy?
What's going on with y'all, man?
Hey,
I'm
man.
Listening to the show for the first time, really.
Appreciate you, man.
Okay, appreciate it.
Yeah. Nice little subject y'all got going on. My thoughts on it are, I would imagine that, you know, we were brought over here to America for basically free labor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, during slavery time.
Right.
And we fought, and we earned our rights or whatnot, and now America don't need us no more.
Right.
That's mm-hmm. it. Just like with the influx of Mexicans coming over the border, they cheap labor. You know, corporations don't earn profits by paying their workers fairly.
Right.
You know, they trying to get a bottom line, and they trying to pay everybody or not pay everybody so that they can gain money. And
right.
being that America
right.
is now a more corporate
that's right.
system, that's basically what's going on. You know, you got it's money. It ain't even so much black and white now. It's just have and have not.
Oh, that's a good comment right there.
I think we do ourselves a disservice a lot of the time by the way that we act and the things that we look up to, because most households are not stressing education. We're not teaching
not.
Our children ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have children young, and we still young, so we're trying to live a young life, and we got these little children at home that's picking up everything but what they need, you know? And that seems like it's a cycle. You know?
So Harold, I mean, what do you think? What is the? I mean, what? I know it's from a monetary standpoint, but why do you think that we're continuously villainized in America? I mean, if we're not useful anymore, why do they have to keep making us look so bad? I mean, and it's not only them, because we do have to take the personal responsibility of what we do in our own community.
That's right.
But why do they keep pushing the issue? Because if it's black on TV, it's new.
Yeah, well, I think that basically it may be a little jealousy going on, because if you look at signs, you know, the first people to be on Earth were black. Black people ruled the world for a number of years in the ancient world. And I think that white people have to believe that they're better. And just like
right.
a bully, you know, if I'm a bully and I'm insecure and I go to school, I find somebody to pick on. So I don't feel insecure no more.
Right.
And it's a lot of that going on. You know, people don't want to think of themselves as equal to other people. You don't want to look at the man next to you and be in his shoes and see how he reacts to anything. You know, you want to be feeling good and you don't care about the rest of the world. And I think it's a little bit of
right.
that going on as far as trying to push black people down. And we are a big scapegoat a lot of the time for a lot of things, because most other cultures don't even really know anything about our culture unless, as you guys were saying in the previous, to the previous caller, unless it's out there in our music or in movies mm-hmm. that we make. That's all they know of us. They don't, a lot of people don't even know black people to the level where they can get to know us and see that we're just people. So they don't see us like just people.
Right.
And in order to make themselves feel good and push themselves up, they have to push somebody else down.
I mean, that sounds like a real comment because, I mean, you travel, you know what I'm saying, you've been around the world.
Yeah.
I remember one time I was watching a satellite feed from Japan on some Japanese cartoon. And,
yeah.
Man, it tripped me out. I was looking at it, man, I saw a Sambo character on there. And I was like, man, why are they still showing Sambo in Japan? It was like, man, maybe 96, 97. And I'm like, why are they still showing Sambo? But the thing about it, man, that propaganda of us eating watermelons, being lazy, you know
yeah.
what I'm saying, don't work. Now, I heard a comment not too long ago in another conversation where this person said, why would you pick the, if we are fitting the stereotypes of being lazy, we don't do nothing, we don't have nothing to contribute to this society, why did you go bring us here? And how did this country get built if we that lazy?
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying?
Fell on the head right there, son.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
this
is true.
Yeah, and I mean, back to the subject of what we were talking about, and then if you're on the line, you want to make another comment, press 1.
Yeah. I think Jen got a comment.
Okay, we can go ahead and go to Jen. Hold 1 second, Harold.
Yeah.
Well, what I wanted to say was that I do think America needs us. Just last year, according to the Nielsen ratings, corporate America has spent $2.3 billion in targeting black people in advertisement. That means that we're spending big-time money. So they have dedicated all this advertising and all, because we're the ones who spend it. And it's not just targeting us. It's targeting white America and not only white America, but other cultures, too, to let them know that we're the ones that's going to be spending, you know, $50 or $200 on a pair of shoes. Or instead of going to the grocery store to be frugal, we'll go out and buy McDonald's. That's what they teach, not only us, about ourselves. Yeah. They teach themselves that, you know, to them. Like, this is who you need to be targeted. This is who's going to spend the money. This is how you're going to make the money off the backs of black people. And America spends a lot of money doing that every year.
Yeah. I always wonder why, you know, like, late, well, these last past couple of years, that all the McDonald's commercials, it's nothing but black people.
Yeah.
It's nothing but black people. You know, it was like, what is up? I mean, white people go to McDonald's?
Because black people spend more. It's proven.
Yeah.
Black people spend more on fast food than white people. Other cultures do. Other cultures, you know, maybe they cook at home. Maybe they don't target those cultures because we spend more money. We're the ones who spend it. So we are the ones that have control over this. We're controlling this. We give them that control.
I think, fellas, I mean, you know, I personally think that the fact is, with our culture, we don't, when I say culture, I mean the black culture, we don't have a culture within ourselves as we used to. Now, everybody on this phone, you know, say you're living in the Southwest or wherever you're living in America, you can remember a time when you can come home on Sunday or any day of the week and find a full course meal in your house.
That's
if
right.
not, it will be a half-course meal.
That's right.
Our society, within our own society, has gotten to the point where, like you said, they targeting us to be like, okay, we know such and such is going to go spend $20 at McDonald's because it's easy. But that goes back to the point of lazy. So is that more of a you know, like a psychological bump at us? You know what I mean? Like Al said, every commercial you see is black people. Not saying it is that deep, but why?
Right. This show is.
Okay.
I like how Dave Chappelle did that little segment that time, you know, during he was having this show about, you know, that dude, I forgot the character name, but, you know, the guy was working at Mickey D's, and he would always bring home Mickey D's every day. You know,
somebody got high blood pressure, diabetes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean,
I think that America, from the beginning, not only America, but you have to look at Great Britain, you have to look at other countries that enslaves black people, is that there has been a great fear of black men, and it predates us by centuries, by thousands of years, because like Charlie was saying that, you know, a lot of things originated, you know, with the black man. And I think there's a fear, if we know who we are, if we know what we do, you know, there's no telling, you know, what could come out of that. And any kind of person, society, you would do it too. If you thought that someone endangered you being on top, they endangered your money, they endangered your power, you would destroy them. And and that's where a lot of that comes from. It's just, quite frankly, they're afraid that some kind of way we would destroy them by our own knowledge and our own self-worth. And that's why I truly am an advocate of, we need to teach our children who they are. And stop letting America and commercials and songs define who they are. We must define who they are.
Exactly.
That's our own responsibility.
Jen, I'm so glad you said that, because it's, I mean, it's to the point where, yeah, they fear us. And you think about it. Look at all the great, and you know, just listen to what I'm about to say. It's all the great white inventors, quote-unquote great white inventors. Imagine all these cats out here in prison. Imagine all these cats that never finished high school. Imagine all these guys that never got basically any opportunity to step beyond what it was in their life. If they had the opportunity, what would this world be like? What would this world be like? I think we got Charlie back on. I think Charlie want to make a comment. Would you go ahead and hit him back in?
Hey, Charlie, get back live on the Middleman Show. You got a comment?
Oh, no, yeah, I've been listening. I think one of the most important things, you just reminded me of something when you said some of the smartest men. X-Plan once said some of the smartest men in the world are in the clouds. And one of the things that we do have to understand, too, another vilification that's taking place is in the educational system, in the school classrooms, where young black men, particularly as Kwanzaa Kwanzaa talks about, the fourth and fifth grade central.
Charlie, check your reception on your phone is getting kind of bad.
Hold on. Okay. Can y'all hear me now?
Switch it over just a little bit, possibly.
All right, hold on. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay.
We ought to get paid for that one, too. You know that, right?
Yeah. That's a commercial right there, brother. Even though I'm not on the line. But I think one of the major places where this vilification takes place is in the educational system. As Kwanzaa Kwanzaa points out, there is around the fourth or fifth grade, the grade level of the child begins to drop off, where the child, young black male, is doing well from K through third, around that fourth grade, just around the time he begins to rehearse what he will look like as a male, as an adult.
Right.
A lot of these white middle class teachers began to lower their expectation rate of the child, and there's already studies that say whatever the teacher expects of a child, the child then generally tends to live up to.
Right.
Not only that,
right,
when you look in the history books, there's very little about black people and what black people have contributed to American civilization or even world civilization. There's very little about that. So what does that teach the black child? Most importantly, what does it also conversely teach the white child?
Well, I think it's more.
I think a lot of that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me finish my thought,
then I'll let you. What it says is it's white supremacy.
Right.
And I learn about the quote unquote foundation of Western civilization, and nobody ever tells me that the Greeks learned everything from the Egyptians. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
I learn about Alexander Graham Bell, and nobody ever tells me about Louis Latimer.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't for him, Alexander Graham Bell
wouldn't
have been there.
Nor would the light bulb exist. See, if I'm taught these things, then quite naturally, then I will say, well, you know, science, I'm not good at science. I can't be good at science. Well, I can't be good at math. But if someone says, look, your ancestors complicated pi, they came up with pi, they came up with algebra, and all of these things.
Right. there's a guy that
there's a sense of confidence in that you.
Go ahead.
So that was my comment. I was just trying
okay.
to bring
okay.
to the point
well,
that
appreciate
this
it.
Whole vilification is not just in film, it's not just in music, it's also in the system. It's also, you know, in this basic good art from K through 12 and then from freshman on up into PhD, that white folks were superior and laid down the foundation for Western civilization.
Right.
And not only does a black person grow up with an inferiority complex, it reinforces the white supremacist ideals in both the white and the black person's mind.
Man, it's amazing how we've done so much. I mean, even back as y'all speak, as far as with school, the school system, it's like the only thing that they teach us, and you remember this from a great song, Charlie, you was bought. You were sold.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's the only thing that they teach us. And it's like, okay, if you can't think that you're better than what, you know what I'm saying? If you don't know that, like you said, if you don't know that you're better than what they present you, that's the only thing you're going to think that you are. And that kind of leads us into our next song. And it's by a brother that, I mean, I love his first album. And it's Nas. The song is N-I-G-G-E-R. Now, a lot of people didn't like the fact that he came up with this title for the album, the N album. But they really didn't understand the concept of what he was saying.
That's
we
right.
are better than
they
this word.
Know.
We are more than this word. But yet and still, we got caught up in the whole essence of the word, and we stay stagnant to the fact of that word.
That's right.
So we're going to go ahead and get into our next song. Charlie, please stay on the line. Everybody, you're listening to Blog Talk Radio, The Middlemen. We thank you for checking out this conversation this Sunday on Father's Day. And we're going to hopefully take it and kick it on up to the next level in the next segment, all right? All right, the next song, like I said, is Nas, N-I-G-G-E-R. Listening to The Middlemen, Blog Talk Radio.
They say we N-I-G-G-E-R, we are much more. Still, we choose to ignore the obvious. Man, this history don't acknowledge us. We were scholars long before colleges. They say we N-I-G-G-E-R. We are much more. But still we choose to ignore the obvious. We are the slave and the master. What you looking for? You the question and the answer. We trust no black leaders. Use the stove to heat us. Powdered eggs and government cheeses. The calendars with Martin, JFK, and Jesus. Gotta be fresh to go to school with fly sneakers. Schools with outdated books. We are the forgotten. Summer's cooling off by the fire hydrant. Yeah, I'm from the ghetto. With old black women talking about their sugar level. It's not unusual to see photos of dead homies' funerals. Aluminum foil on TV antennas. Little TV sit on top to big TV eating TV dinners. Girls started here with Kool-Aid. They gave us lemons. We made lemonade. But this nigga's paid, ancestry of slaves, descendant of kings, is necessary yacht, bling, put rims on everything, wear Tims on every scene. They say we N-I-G-G-E-R, we are much more, still we choose to ignore the obvious. Man, this history don't acknowledge us, we were scholars long before colleges. They say we N-I-G-G-E-R, we are much more, but still we choose to ignore the obvious. We are the slave and the master. What you looking for? You the question and the answer. Do I mean it like a slave master? Nigga, no, I'm gangster. Gotta eat rappers. My abbreviation was young when I caught the cases. That should mean the court could see my changes. Take off the bracelets. Savage went broke. Smoke sour diesel, need no Bowflex. My chest still cut up like a bag of dope. Thought patterns consist of boss matters. Spit Moses lost commandments like a gross sandwich out my mouth. Toast to government cameras, peeping us every week. I must have my cars, homes, and phones sweep for bugs. But this is what I was dreaming of. Between cutting hard coke with new razors slicing my fingers up. They used to string us up, we wanted everything. But the one bringing us cake be the snake slicer. Like the new Jack City wedding scene. No time for mistakes, trying to get it like Medellin. They say we N-I-G-G-E-R, we are much more. still we choose to ignore the obvious. Man, this history don't acknowledge us. We were scholars long before colleges. They say we N-I-double-G-E-R. We are much more, but still we choose to ignore the obvious. We are the slave and the master. What you looking for? You the question and the answer. People afraid of criticism.
And that was Nas, N-I-double-G-E-R. We are much more.
Mm-hmm.
Good song, man. Powerful song, man.
Yes, sir.
Wish we had
yes,
more
sir.
People that were actually pushed like that with more songs like that. Because, I mean, it's a nice beat, and, of course, people are bumping, man. But, I mean, hey, that's how we are as black people. But today, people, if you're just not tuning in to the Middle Man Talk Show, we were talking about the villainization of the black man. Why are we continuously being villainized in America? And how come we are more targeted than other men and of different races in America? And also we're going to discuss why it's harder for a black man to become accepted in the workforce, and also why are our black women do not stand up for their black men. We have some interesting comments on the first section. We had some nice history that was given to us by Charlie.
Oh yeah,
you know,
always a blessing to hear him on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
And our man Dirty Harry out there in Dallas, Texas.
That's right.
Appreciate you calling in, big homie. Yeah, he said he was going to call in. He actually did it.
Yes. And also, if you're on the line and if you have a comment, you know, feel free to comment at any time on the subject. And we might need to bring Jen back in a little bit. Jen, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah. I know you've probably been following this. Congress, you know, some of the people in Congress have issued a statement as far as the forgiveness of the slavery thing. You know, that was pretty much the talk of the town as far as the first part of this week. You know, Congress giving forgiveness, you know, to that. My thing is, I mean, you really, I'm not trying to be mean, but I really don't accept that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's just words. You know what I'm saying? Actions speak louder than words. You know, but it's just words to me because, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, I guarantee when those few white senators and representatives left that day after being on TV, it didn't faze them. They didn't go and shake another black person, you know, in the city's hand and say I'm sorry or I apologize for my great grandfather's mistakes or mother.
It's been late for that. That's like me hitting you with a brick and waiting 5 days later and say, hey man, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know what? I personally don't want an apology because to me, it's disrespectful to my ancestors' memory. I cannot conceive in my mind what it's like to be a slave. Like, I can't. I probably can't ever, you know or even grasp what it felt like or meant to be a slave. And so they don't have to apologize to me. What I want to see done is that a stop to the killing of our youth. That will be reparations for me. Like, stop, you know, putting these policies, stop doing all of this stuff that harm black youth in America. Instead of spending, you know, how many hours they did on apologizing to me, I wasn't a slave. Instead of doing that, you need to bring up all these laws that are imprisoning our young black men and our young Latino men in America's prisons. You need to address the poverty rate. The SCLC just issued, I think they're going to do a thing in Mississippi, in Jackson, where they're calling for, like, something to be done about the poverty rate. People do not realize that there are people in this country that don't have running water. Like, you know, something, and these are black people that are living in these circumstances, and it's unacceptable.
Most
and, like, while America worries about Iran and about North Korea and about this, we need to worry about our own domestic terrorism that happens every day. Like you said that the guy that was
not to interrupt y'all, but y'all hear that music in the background and we do have him on the line.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hey, Jack, you don't talk about, man. It's your boy, Doug Jesus. You don't talk about, aka the human head rack. You with me, Jack. You don't talk about, man. I'm sorry to miss y'all today, man. You know what I'm talking about? I'm down here in Slidell, Louisiana. You know what I'm talking about? All my Louisiana folks stand up, man, down here visiting all the people and everything, man. You know what I'm talking about? Hey, I already know what the subject of the day was, what it is, what it's going to be, man. You know what I'm saying? Certain situations and little issues, you know what I'm saying? We're going to get, you know what I'm saying? It's going to get handled one way or the other. You know what I'm saying? But you know, we're going to keep it on a lighter note today, because you know what? It's Father's Day, man, so let me give a shout-out to all the real fathers out there, not you fucking daddies out here. You know what I'm talking about? Playing. You know what I'm talking about? Want right. to go play with your kid for about 3 seconds and goddamn leave some money. Nah, Jay, I'm talking about the real fathers who put it in 24-7, 365. You know what I'm talking about? No sleep, rocking babies, doing diapers, homework, hair, and clothes, and everything else that you know. You know what I'm talking about? So, and all the mamas, too. You know what I'm talking about? All the mamas who playing daddy because they fucking ass don't want to be around. You know what I'm talking about? And also the mamas who actually letting their baby daddies see their kids and want them to be in their kids' lives. You know what I'm talking about? Not your old fucking ass women who don't want to let nobody see your kid, man. But, hey, check it out, man. It is what it is, man. It's your boy, Doug G, man. Happy Father's Day, man. I'm about to get back on these daiquiris. You know what I'm talking about? And, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to feel real good. You know what I'm saying? So, KG, you know what I'm talking about? I know you're a fellow father, man. So, happy Father's Day to everybody listening. Doug Priest, having that sex with cathedral sex. You know what I'm talking about? Alligator souffle and all that good shit, man. You know what I'm talking about? Check.
Y'all talking, you know, y'all was just carrying on pretty bad. I knew he, you know, I appreciate, well, the comment that you were making, they made sense, Jen. I was listening to everything you were saying.
Yeah.
But I seen him on the line, and he was just waiting for y'all to give him his time. So we going to go back to y'all conversation. Thank you for listening to the Middleman Talk Show today. Jen, go ahead and make your comment back what you were saying there. Now she want to get quiet.
I'm sorry. All right, I thought I was on.
They kind of threw y'all off pretty bad there, huh?
No, church is important. We must be church.
Wasn't church.
It wasn't?
No.
Oh, talk of the town.
That wasn't even talk of the town. No, that was,
sorry.
That was actually just him calling in.
Wow.
Really? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he was calling in today. You know, he's down there visiting his folks. Already, you know, we knew about it. He wasn't going to be able to do church today. But let's get everything rolling, y'all, before we mess up and lose all our little time and call us today. We appreciate everybody staying on the line with us today. So where did we leave off with the conversation? Because you guys were about to take it into the second segment. And there were some good comments that you have. Jen, you were shooting us some stats over. And I saw one that in particular that kind of caught me by surprise. Was this from John Edwards during the campaign time? During the campaign. He made this statement, quote, "The idea that we can incarcerate and keep incarcerating, pretty soon we're not going to have a young African male population in America. They're all going to be in prison or dead. One of the two." And it was by John Edwards at the MTV Political Forum, September 27, 2007.
Mm-hmm.
Man, y'all think about that. I mean, this guy just said, basically, they're either going to be dead in jail. And we hear this so much in our lifetime. What in the world is going on? What's going on?
Going on is that we're letting it happen.
Yeah.
You know, I feel almost ashamed where during the civil rights movement and even before the civil rights movement, we had black people stand up and say, "Not for me and my children." And who's doing that now?
Well,
few of us, we just say, "Okay, it'll get better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll do this." How many of us have I write my senator all the time. He writes me back crazy stuff, but I write him all the time because I want him to know that somebody is out there and I have a complaint that you need to pay attention to what is happening to my people in your state and in America. And how many of us do that on a constant basis? How many of us?
I'm going to tell you this much. I'm going to say this right here, and I want everybody on the line to really pay attention to what I'm about to say right here. You saying, who does this? Now, y'all think about this, and it's just a real comment right here. How many of us go out, and I know with the exception of you, Jen, how many of us go out in our communities
and give this information to our fellow people and, you know, fellow brothers and sisters in our community. Because the thing about it, Jen, if I don't know how to fish, I will starve. I will not know how to eat.
True.
So the thing about it is, if we don't know how to become an entity in a political realm, therefore we will not be able to make any type of leeway or anything in this political game that they play with us. I mean,
but
that's all,
know,
it really is.
It's simple stuff. Like, okay, every like once a month, I go to a community meeting.
Well, I said
this
session
of
you, Jen.
Yeah, but I'm just saying for other people, this goes
right
on in their communities too. Go to your city town meetings. Go to
Jen,
your city council meetings. Go
Jen,
to
Jen, let's
them.
Keep it real. Let's keep this 100% real today. We're talking about the villainization of the black man, the vilification of the black man.
Yes.
The thing about it, how many times have you gone in a community where these guys are not motivated to do things of these nature? They're not even concerned. The only thing that they're concerned about is getting the next pair of
shorts. They ain't worried about it.
The only thing they're concerned about is getting the next pair of big rims. Because you think about it, our society, our inner society, and I'm going to say that when I say inner society, I'm speaking upon the black race. The only thing that we teach our kids now is to get things, go get money, get rich or die trying.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying? It's not make a statement for your community, build a better future for your children and your children. We the only ones that right now we're not really doing this. And I mean, Al had a friend over his house a couple of days ago, and I was hoping that she would have called in, the young lady from Africa. If y'all recall some of the things that she was saying, and we can enlighten everybody else on the phone line with us today, the conversation. We asked her what was the perception of black people, the American blacks, to the blacks in Africa. The first thing she said out of her mouth was what, y'all? What was the first thing
she
said?
We're lazy.
That
we're lazy.
Uh-huh.
And
lazy.
That we're, you know, that we don't care.
We don't care.
Just to sum it up,
we're
that we don't care.
We're not family oriented.
We're not
family oriented.
Right.
No.
And you think about that. We look at our society right now, our inner society. I mean, I can walk down my street right now, man. I see about five brothers on the porch drinking a malt liquor, 2009, a malt liquor. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Probably don't know how to read, or they may be one of the most intelligent brothers in the world, but yet it still ain't motivated to do nothing with it. You know what I'm saying?
But
so
who takes the responsibility, Kevin?
But the thing about it, it's like this though. If I saw you drowning, what would it be if I say, hey? You should have been responsible enough to learn how to swim. Or should I just throw that life preserver out there?
You throw the life preserver.
Right.
We
That's
have to
what
start
I
caring.
Do.
We have to change our mindset. That's why they view us this way. That's why they view us as villains, because we view ourselves as villains. How many times do we say, oh, look at black people? I say it too, you know, sometimes. Oh, these black people, they're this, they're that. We have to stop looking at ourselves as villains. We have to stop self-hating. If we stop the self-hating and demand the rest of the world to look at us how we should be looked at and demand the respect, then maybe we might not get it all, but we will get a hell of a lot more than we're getting now.
Right.
When we see young people, this past weekend I went canvassing where I went door to door, telling people about, you know, the upcoming gubernatorial election, telling people about some of the senators' views, telling them how these views are going to affect our community. We have to, as a whole, start doing it together.
Jen, I mean, even from the, it's like this, and if I see, I don't know if Charlie want to make a comment. Charlie, we're going to come to you. But the thing about it is, Jen, if it doesn't directly affect our community, a lot of blacks in the community, they're not concerned
about
it.
They ain't concerned with it.
They're not concerned about it. You can say all day, if this person make a policy saying that you have to be in your house at 7 o'clock every night, or you got to get it back out here on this cotton field, you know what I'm saying? The one in the cotton field probably going to make everybody concerned. But if they say, well, you got to be in your house at 7 o'clock, man, why they hate? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like we sit back and let them throw the brick first. You know what I'm saying? And we see who the hell it hit, then we want to say something.
Right.
Instead of looking at, man, they over there stockpiling bricks, man, we might need to get at them. That's what we do.
If people, everyone has this view. If everyone thinks like that, when is it going to change? Now, I might go out, people laugh at me. Because people laugh at me and say, I'm not going to make a difference. And they laugh at me and say, you know, we're always going to be like this. But it might be one person or two people that listen to me. And then
those and people might know someone. It might be a ripple effect.
Jean,
we
you've
have
done
to
your job. You've done your job.
Right.
Who people
as long as you know
you've done your job.
Right. At the end of the day, you know, you got to think about that. Okay, you got your voice out there. You know, people are only going to take what they want from what you say anyway. And then they're still going to make it up in their mind. They still got two choices. Either I'm going to do it or I'm not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a feeling that they're going to actually, if it's going to have too much of a strain on them or a high level of commitment, hey, that's going
to... Some people are not willing to commit to that.
Yeah. You know, that's going to deepen their chances, man.
Now,
if we can
let's go to the phone lines, Al.
Okay, go ahead. All right.
I think this is Harold again. Harold, what's happening, man? You got a comment?
Yeah, I've been listening to what the young lady's saying, and she sounds very informed and intelligent. And she has the right approach, especially with getting involved with your local elections and things like that, because the national election don't so much count as the local election. But
right.
As far as the villainization and whatnot and what she's talking about, I mean, back in the days we had leaders who stood up and basically ignored the people who didn't care and what I'd have made these people care. And what I think it takes is you got to attack them through that same culture that they worship nowadays in America.
Mm-hmm.
You got to attack them
yep.
through their music.
Yep.
You know, you got to put music
yep.
out there that's just as hot as what they listen to but with the right
yep.
message on it.
That's
you got to
right.
put, you got to, you know, try to influence people to have, you know, different views than what they have right now because
right.
you're right, it's apathy in the black community a lot of the times because of that money culture that exists in America.
Right.
It ain't just black people, it's all Americans are in it. We wouldn't even have this recession if everybody wasn't living beyond their means. You know what I'm
yep.
talking about?
Yep.
So it's like, you know, but to save ourselves, we're going to have to start in our house.
Yeah.
Get your child, you know, you tell your child the truth. You know, it's hard to tell your child that American Idol doesn't matter, that education matters, you know, because they're going to look at you like you're crazy.
Right.
That's the fight. That's the first line. That's your first battleground right there. And if you teach your child go out in the world and teach another. And then they go teach another. And you have to spread it like that because there's an apathy. There's this thug culture where everybody want to be a thug.
Yeah.
You know, you can't get a job wearing your pants down around your knees. It's not going to happen.
Harold, I want to make a comment as far as something you just told Jen. It's the approach
yeah.
a lot of times. I recall
yeah.
watching, and I know everybody on this phone line has looked and saw an old episode of Good Time.
Yeah.
I remember that. You remember the guy that was the alderman? He was Fred, the alderman,
yeah,
the bald head guy. He was always running. They showed
yeah.
one episode where he had this guy that was running against him. He was a younger guy. More intelligent, more vigorous. He was just on top of his game. But the thing that lost him his election was his approach. The thing about it, like
right.
he said, I was talking at the people instead of to the people.
That's
right.
right.
You know what I mean?
That's
and that's
right.
the thing about it. We got a lot of intelligent people, Jen, you included. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of times how you come at people, and I'm not saying what you do is wrong, Jen, by no means whatsoever. But the thing about it, a lot of times we talk to our people, we're talking at them instead of to them. And a lot of times that offends them. So if we ever get to the point where we can get out here and make that dope deal on that corner, want to come, man, come in, let me talk to you, dude. Let me tell you what's going down. If we can get to that approach, man, and they want to listen, even if they stand there for 5 seconds or a minute or 2 minutes, you got something in their head that's going to make them click somewhere along that line and be like, man, that dude was telling me some real stuff. Or that lady was telling me some real stuff.
Well, you know, they got to see it, and they got to see it in their life. They got to see something. You can't tell a dope boy to not be a dope boy if you can't show him a way to make some money.
Right.
Because he's out there not because he wants to sell drugs, but he's out there because he want to make some money.
Make money.
So that's what I'm saying. So, I mean, that's why I say you got to attack him a little bit through the culture, you know. All these guys out here that's doing music and all these guys out here that's young actors, and we got a lot of young directors out here. If they will put a positive message, and like the young lady was saying, education on who we are, because
yeah.
we're very powerful. We used to run things. You know, the black man was the first man. Black man been around hundreds of thousands of years. White man been around 40,000 years. 41,000 years ago, there were no white people.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, you know, we possess it, but the knowledge has been lost. And it's been lost
That's
in America, especially it's been lost because, you know, it was beat out of us. You know, we our language is gone, our culture is gone, and we replaced that language and culture with what we have come up with so far in America. I mean, think about it. For being 12% of the population, whose culture is on top? Rap is the number one selling music. You know,
clothing.
Clothing. That's us. You know, I have seen businessmen riding around in their cars with rims on it now.
White
middle-aged businessmen are buying rims because that's what we do.
Yeah.
So, you know, we got a great influence. We got a massive power. But we ain't, you know, we ain't really teaching our people how to manifest that power. And we ain't see that. It start with the children. We got to teach our children and do that.
Tara, that's the key thing. Manifest the power.
Yeah.
And we got Charlie on the line. Charlie, did you have a comment also there, my brother?
Yeah, but I wanted to go back to...
Go ahead. Do your thing.
I want to go back to just a policy. Because I really want... Cause I think this again about, hey, it's a little too late. Here's what I want you to understand about an apology for slavery without real reparations.
Mm-hmm.
It's the equivalent of me coming to your house and beating your family to a pulp.
Right.
Kicking you out of your house, stripping you of your bank account, and then making you work and take all of your wage. And then 40 or 50 years while you're landless, homeless, jobless, no education, and now you've got to succeed in the global society. Have nothing. I turn around and say, all the wealth that I'm enabled to amass from you. Man, I'm sorry I did that to you. Please accept my apology. What's the first thing you're going to say to me?
Man, you lost your damn mind.
That's all it is. All it is a slap in the face, man. That's all it is.
You're going to say, I want my house back. I want my bank account with interest. I want the money that I made back from the free labor. Here's the point. How many of you all know property insurance agents?
Property insurance?
Let me explain Hartford. They show Hartford with the boots or whatever it is that this logo.
Mm-hmm.
You know how they made their money in the beginning? They insured slave ships.
They insured Hartford? What?
Yes. They actually would do this. They would say, you're carrying 200 slaves. I'll insure the slave ship and the slave.
Wow.
The slave, I will pay you X amount of money if you pay me up money up front. That's how they made their money. And what the slave owners would do is, instead of bringing 200 slaves over, they just had rat packages maybe to 150.
Yeah, on top of each other. Hey, Charlie.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to move on. We're going to move on into the conversation because we're getting kind of short on time right here. But one thing, you know, we got Jen. Like I said, we always have Jen. She always throwing us good stats and stuff. Jen just threw me a stat over here, man. She was basically saying America owes blacks $7 billion to $1.9 trillion for unpaid labor that built this country's infrastructure.
She's right. And if we collect on it, we break the country.
Now, you think about this, and she also adds in here, you know, we built the U.S. Capitol and all this, you know, all these monuments and things, but Obama's basically dodging the issue. Now, how do y'all feel about our president dodging the issue with reparations?
Personally, I think it's tragic. I think it's wrong. He's playing politics, and politics and morality don't mix.
Yeah.
I agree. And it saddens me because if anybody knows me, they know I am the biggest Barack Obama cheerleader that can exist in life. I think Bill Maher made a very good comment the other week on his show. And when he was saying that Barack Obama needs to get a little George Bush in him, and I think too, we might not have this opportunity ever again. He needs to stop playing politics and just do what he wants to do. We may never, ever have this opportunity again. And I think there's a lot of issues that he has an opportunity to address that he's not addressing. Like, it's still early in his game, so I don't want to, you know, count him out yet. He does. He needs to address the poverty issue that's going on. He needs to address the prison issue that's happening. There's a lot of things that he needs to do, and I think he just needs to step up and say, you know, I am the example. All black men are not crooks or villains or going to steal your pocketbook or drug dealers.
Right.
And to go back to a comment on what was said, like how I approach, you know, especially drug dealers, I try to get them up on game where a lot of people don't realize even the drug game is changing. They cannot make the money that they made, you know, in the early 90s and in the 80s off of cocaine and crack. So they can make more money off of pharmaceuticals. So what is going to happen to you, black man, on the corner selling, you know, crack when the doctor and the pharmacy and the insurance companies are making way more? They don't need you to do that anymore. And
not
so
only
they
that, Jen, when they legalize weed, Jen, when they legalize weed, they finna put them cats out the business.
Yeah, and so
can
the
I say something?
Oh, go ahead.
Can I say I want to get back to that point that you had made about Obama. You know, President Obama has an agenda that he's following, but it don't have nothing to do with furthering black people. You know, we haven't had a president since probably Kennedy that could do what he wanted to do in that White House.
Right.
The White House and that government system is run by special interest groups. They're corporations that pay millions of dollars for that man to get where he is. Do you know that he has the same handlers and backers that Clinton and Bush had? It's the same people. The president changed, but the people that actually, the infrastructure in the White House don't change. So they're not thinking about black people. Obama is put in the White House to make you do exactly what you were just doing. To say, okay, we got hope. I hope he does this. I hope he does that. Meanwhile, you must look at what Obama is doing. Right now, Obama is bankrupting America. What happened to all those trillions of dollars that he put in that financial package that he got? Went to the Federal Reserve. And the Federal Reserve won't tell us what they're doing with it.
Nothing. They ain't telling you nothing.
No, they're not telling you, and they're not going to do anything with it. They're privatizing, they're governmentizing the private sector, buying up GM and all of this, and then breaking it up and sending it overseas to their boys who gave money to the campaign. So as far as relying on Obama to do anything, I think that's just a pipe dream. The young lady, Jen or whatever, she's Obama. She's doing what Obama's supposed to be doing. She's telling these people the truth, getting out there in these people's faces. And like you said, drug dealers on the corner selling crack won't be able to sell crack when there's no paper money. What's going to happen when it all go electronic? How you going to pay for crack and go out and get them $1 bills and $10 bills?
Yep.
You know they're going to do those cats? They're going to lock them right up in jail.
Trying to pay for it. And they're
going
to be trying to pay for it.
Yeah, what it is, they're wasting their time not getting no education. They're wasting their time not working and building anything. Mm-hmm. So when all this paper money gone and they don't have a staff to go to work, where else you going to go? Right to jail. Lock up. That's it. Let's go create crime. Is already exploding with the recession that we're in. You know, people are just, you got middle class people who bought an expensive cars and now they can't pay for it. What are they doing? Setting fire to them and filing an insurance claim. Mm-hmm. All of this is going on now. So, I mean, black people really got to wake up because now it's getting deeper than just a black problem. It's becoming an American problem. You know, our leaders right now are not leading us. Our leaders right now serve in private interest. And, I mean, think about it. If I gave a cop $100 before he wrote me the ticket, you would call it a fine. If I gave a judge $100 before he made the call on the judgment, that's a bribe. But if I give a politician $100 before he signed a law, that's not considered a bribe.
It's a contribution.
That's a contribution. You see what I'm talking about?
Yep.
So the whole system is rotten. We can't put out. That's why I say vote in your local election, because the states have the power, the city and your state. You know, Austin, the city of Austin, voted to validate the Patriot Act. There ain't no Patriot Act in Austin. Because they city council voted that it was illegal. They voted for the Constitution. So that's what I mean. Until people kind of get educated as to what's really going on, we can't fight the battle if we don't know where the battle is.
That's true.
We don't know the battle exists.
That's true.
And that's why we got to get out there and talk to our people. Especially our young black men, because they have so much power that's just being used on nothing. You know,
definitely.
we're immoral now.
Hey,
no, we
Harold,
need to get back to morality.
That's true. And Harold, I mean, you made a great statement. It's like taking a sledgehammer and hitting a needle with it. That's
right.
It's not focused. So,
right.
I know we kind of got off subject. Everybody on the line, you listen to Blog Talk Radio, the middleman. We got kind of offline. We didn't really hit the end of our subject as far as asking, why don't black women support black men? So we could probably do that on another show. That kind of leads us into our third song. We are the truth. You know what I'm saying? We as black men on this Father's Day, June the 21st, we are the truth. And if our women and our people realize that we are this, then we can make many, many more things happen in our society. And our last song of the day is by Andy Iri. And the song is called The Truth. You listen to Blog Talk Radio, The Middleman. And this is India Ari, The Truth.
Let me tell you why I love him.
'Cause he is the truth, said he is so real. And I love the way that he makes me feel. And if I am a reflection of him, then I must be fly. Light, it shines so bright, I would lie.
No.
I remember the very first day that I saw him. I found myself immediately intrigued by him. It's almost like I knew this man from another life. Like back then, maybe I was his husband, maybe he was my wife. And here the things I don't like about him are fine with me. 'Cause it's not hard for me to understand him, 'cause he's so much like me.
So much like,
and it's truly my pleasure to share his company. And I know that it's God's gift to breathe the air he breathes. Oh, it's the truth, and he is so real. And I love the way that he makes me feel. And if I am a reflection of him, then I must be fly, because his light is shining so bright, I wouldn't lie.
No.
How can the same man that makes me so mad,
do you know what he did?
Turn right around and kiss me so soft.
Girl, do you know what he did?
If he ever left me, I wouldn't even be sad. There's a blessing in every lesson, and I'm glad that I knew him at all.
Cause the truth,
and he is so real.
And I love the way
that he makes me feel.
And if I am a reflection of him,
then I must be fly, because his light, it shines so bright. No, I love the way he speaks, the way he thinks. I love the way that he treats his mama. I love that gap in between his teeth. I love him in every way that a woman can love a man, from personal to universal, but most of all it's unconditional.
You know what I'm talking about?
Ain't no substitute for the truth. Either it is or it isn't. You see the truth and needs no proof. Either it is or it isn't. And you know the truth by the way you feel.
And if I am a reflection of him,
then I must be fly. Because he is. Yes, he is. I wonder, does he know?
We're now back live on blogtalkradio.com, and this is the Middleman Show. And and if you're just now tuning in, we had a great show today. You know, we talked about the villainization of the black man. You know, why are black men continuously being villainized and victimized in America? Yeah, and why are black men more targeted than other men of different races? And we also, you know, got into, you know, the history of the black man. You know, we had some great, great comments. Great
comments. Yes, we did, man.
Very, very educational.
You know what, Al? If you just tuning in, you missed a spectacular spectacular show with great comments.
Oh, yeah.
We would like to thank our man Harold from Texas, making some great thought-provoking comments. Our man down in Jackson, Charlie, man, you always dropping bombs and jewels in every conversation that you bring to us.
Appreciate
Jen, you, yeah, you laid it down today, sister.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, if you're just tuning in, what you could do, you can go back to blogtalkradio.com/the middleman, download this show, see what you missed.
Right.
Because if you was on here today, you would have been amazed at some of the things you heard today. I hate that you didn't get the opportunity to hear today.
But we will follow up with this show again. We will have a similar show on this specific topic as well in the near future. And we will definitely send you updates on that particular show.
Yeah.
For you all to tune in again and listen to this great topic.
Yeah.
This is Bart. You know, it's Bart. It's Bart. We've probably gone for months talking about this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, Al, I know we didn't get the opportunity to get into why sometimes our black women don't stand up for the black man.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to possibly take that over into another show. We got a show next week that's one of our little things that we're going to do. And we kind of... I know we're going to have fun with this one next week. Let them know what the show next week is going to be about.
Okay, next week, people, the name of the show next week is called Jen's List.
Yeah.
And if you have listened to some of our previous shows, you know, Jen has listed a lot of things in which a black man would need to possess or has accomplished by a certain age. So we're going to do a show on that next week, and it's going to be very interesting and probably have a lot of humorous things that are in there, and you know, we're gonna try to dig deep in it. And you know, we asked Jen to take up a poll, you know, with some of her office mates as well too, so it's just not her perspective, it's more than one perspective of this list, but it is typically Jen's list. And tune in next week, same time, same hour, you know, and we're gonna discuss it.
Hold on, let's go to Charlie right quick. I don't know if Charlie has something he want to say in closing because we got about 2 minutes left. Charlie.
Yeah.
Hey, man, we appreciate you calling in today, too, my brother. Did you have any parting words for us today?
Brother, the only thing I can tell you, I think your brother from Texas said something about us being that morality. I think that's very important. I think that black people are under siege. Our humanity is being under siege. And the most important thing that we can do as black people is to maintain our humanity, maintain our morality, maintain that sense of self so that we can empathize with our fellow man, our fellow woman, and when they're suffering, and understand that we will get through this together, and just return to our rightful place on earth, you know? That's what
most
we need.
Definitely. Well, Charlie, man, we appreciate you for taking the time to chill with us today, and happy Father's Day to you.
Same to you all,
you know?
Brother. Same to you.
And, man, we look forward to hearing from you on one of our other shows, and we appreciate you taking the time. All right, my brother?
Oh, no, anytime, brother, anytime.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Hey, Jen. Go ahead, Al. I was going to tell Jen, hey, thank you for the wonderful comments today, too, my sister. I know she ain't on the line.
Okay, well, I just want to say I want to thank everybody for taking an hour and a half out your Sunday to check out the Middleman Talk Show.
Yeah, because you was going to get it if your butt didn't say it. No.
Yeah.
Hey, I had something special this week for everybody. I don't know if they paid attention to it, but have you heard that right there?
Green onions.
Yeah. Hey, I'm over here doing my arm shake-off. I can't dance. Only thing gangsta do is boogie. But Al, go ahead and take us up out of here, man. We gonna go on here and hit this thing right stuff and let them know what it is.
Be out, baby. This is the Middleman Show.
I knew what you was tuning in to. We'll pay attention to the real talk. What we here for. Don't take a listen time. Take a minute. Shout it and learn some. Put your mind to grind the world. You destined to earn some. Linda, here. Comment on what you hear. Let's figure out the master plan to put this thing in gear. Don't matter if you hood or you corporate. Don't guess you got a will to do way better than you were doing. Well, then you fortunate. Take a stand. Stop complaining about what you ain't got. Hating on the next man because he was dying to break shop. Every Sunday, tune in. Go live 6 p.m. BlogTalkRadio.com. The Middleman.
Hey, what's happening, the middlemen? Hey, what's happening, the middlemen? Hey, what's happening? BlogTalkRadio.com, the middlemen.
Hey, man, can I get another encore of that right there? Hey, come again. Yeah. Join us next week when we will be having Jen's list.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? If you know some guys out there that just really ain't up to status, tell them to tune in to the next show so we can show them how to get a woman. Or maybe just piss one off. But we appreciate you again. And we are out. Yeah. Hey, but listen to that, boy. What you know about that?
Hey, man.
All right, appreciate y'all, really, but hey,
great talk.
We out.